as you may have worked out from Joy's wonderful introduction, we are talking today about signs and watching for his works. Now, at the end there, she had some very bad signs up. But hey, because I love you, I've got even more. Because I think this is a bit more the sort of thing that we're going to be looking at in a minute. So whilst driving, who's seen something like these? Just for those who can't see, at the back, you've got some very enterprising cows writing "Eat more chicken" on a road billboard. You've got an advert for Bic pens encouraging students to cheat. We've got poor Fido there, who's killed the family budgerigar by his bad breath. And that one is encouraging you to buy some Denta sticks, I believe. And at the end, the pièce de résistance, $2 for $3 croissant witch from Burger King, right next to 1 in 3 people in Louisiana will die from heart disease. You may see these signs, and you may think a little bit about the purpose of advertising. What is it? Well, advertisers have these signs to remind you either of their product for the first time, or, probably more likely, to remind you of a product you well know, competition with some other things going on, and they want you to remember their product. And that is a very, very loose introduction to the kind of signs that we're going to be talking about. Because as you all know, advertising is a bit like this. Advertising, reality. And for those of you who can't see, some tinned tomatoes on the outside turns out to be some tinned peaches. These are bad signs. So we're going to look at good signs. But first, let's pray for God's wisdom in looking for good signs. Father, I thank you that you give us both natural eyes and spiritual eyes. And today, this afternoon, this evening, and this week, and for the rest of our lives, would you teach us to look with your eyes, to see the signs of your kingdom, and not the signs that the world shows us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you have heard our reading today twice from two different versions. And these are the bits that are worth saying twice. Tell of all his wonderful works. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. Remember, tell. And from the message, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence. Remember the world of wonders he has made. And you may be thinking, as you heard that psalm today, lots of praise there. Great psalm. Love praising. I'm feeling in that place. I can praise God. Doesn't need a talk on it. Let's just praise. And I praise God if you're in that place. But I also want to talk to those this morning who may not be in that place. And why remembering and watching for his signs and being in his presence are such important things. Because you see, and I hope the bishop doesn't want to sack me at this point, but I really struggle with this book sometimes. It's got a lot of spoilers. Have you ever thought about that? It's got a lot of stories to which we know the end. And that's good news. Guess what, church? Who wins in the end? I'm telling you, Jesus wins in the end, and that's a good end to know. But if we think about some of our favorite stories in the Bible, perhaps ones that we knew as children, we think, well, yep, that happened, that happened, that happened. End. Perfect. Well, they always knew it was going to be all right because we know the end. But actually, I often think, Lord, I've got the end of the Bible stories. But what's the end of the things I'm struggling with? What's the happy end for the things I'm praying for that I haven't yet seen the answer, at least I think I'm expecting yet? What's the end for me? I don't know the end because I'm right in the middle of the story. I can't actually see that promise at the end. That's why we need to remember to keep our spiritual eyes open. And we've actually only read a tiny bit of our psalm. This one goes on to tell the whole story of the escape from Egypt. So we're going to have a very quick look at that. Here's our Red Sea crossing. Because again, that's a really popular story. Just didn't think, well, they were all saved. Amazing miracle. What were the Israelites even worried about? But actually, this psalm takes us through the journey. And I wonder where you might find yourself on the journey this morning. We might want to start right back in Egypt, when the Jewish people were suffering under their oppressors. Through no fault of their own, they were being attacked, abused, bullied on all sides. Didn't have much hope, didn't have much to live for, and the promise of a Red Sea crossing and a new land would have seemed a million miles removed. Are you in that place this morning? Not of your own making, perhaps, but you feel trapped in a situation that you cannot see the end of. Perhaps that's where you are. Or perhaps you're like in the next stage of the story. You've got Moses, and he has had some serious words from God, and he's about to lead the people out. But the attack on his faith has been very strong. You've got magicians able to do all the sorts of things he can. You've got the people saying, weren't there any cemeteries in Egypt? We could have died there. Even there, we had cucumbers. They were extremely concerned about their salads. But on a serious point, are you there, perhaps, that there is something that you feel called to take a walk of faith in, a leap of faith? You feel that God has spoken to you very strongly about something, but you've also got some attack there. And again, your Red Sea seems a million miles removed. So what do you need to do in this point? Or perhaps you're absolutely terrified. You're in that bit just before the miracle happens. Nothing is going right. You're being chased. The Egyptian army is at your back. They've got very big chariots. You don't have anything. Where is God in that? What do you think the Israelites were feeling at that moment? We all know, that's all right, guys, miracle's coming. But if you're in this position right now, do you relate to that situation? Or what about you're right in the midst of your miracle? You're right in the midst of the water, and everything is going fantastically. You feel in the presence of God, not quite sure where it ends, but he's taken you up somewhere. It's going a little bit faster than you thought, but praise God for that. Perhaps you're there, or right at the very end. But then, of course, we know what happens at the very end of the Red Sea story if we're familiar with it. And that is, of course, that they wander for quite a long time and wander and wander. And the promised land is there, but there's a lot more wandering and waiting to do. So if you're in that place of celebrating, again, I absolutely rejoice about that. But there's going to be some wilderness time to come. There's going to be some things that you need to search through and walk through. And so where is God in all of that? And how do those words, remembering and watching for his works, help us? Or can we think of a New Testament example? Think about Mary. We all think of Mary, God's chosen one. What did she do? She brought the Savior of the world to birth. I wonder at which point she felt her story was all answered in black and white. Maybe she never did while she was alive on this earth. She went through her fiancé rejecting her. She went through fleeing to Egypt. She went through not knowing what was happening with this son, this miracle son of hers. She went through seeing him die on the cross. And maybe that Easter Sunday, that's when she really knew the end of the story. So have a think about where you are today. Because what's important when we remember is that God invented something far earlier than Steve Jobs. And that is this. God invented iCloud. And it goes with you And it helps you remember. And it updates the things that you don't have the memory for at the moment if you put a demand on it. Does that make sense? Because here in the first story, in our Red Sea story, we learn that God was there. Now the fire has been interpreted, and the cloud has been interpreted as the Holy Spirit of God, as Jesus himself. I don't think we need to worry too much about what it was exactly. We'll just say the presence of God. That is what goes with you. And just like the actual iCloud, it updates with us. With the things that we've forgotten, the things that we don't have memory for anymore, they're there in the cloud. And what are the things that God has been good to you in? What are those things that brought you to faith that you need to download from the cloud and bring back to the front of your mind for what is happening right now? Maybe it's the thing that turned you to become a Christian. Maybe it was a word of knowledge that you thought, of course, that is what it was. That was so clearly God speaking. So that when we are in the midst of all our difficult times, we're remembering and we're being with the cloud. And of course, we're New Testament people. We don't just have a cloud that stays with us for a specific event and then goes away. If we've got the Holy Spirit with us, if we know Jesus, then that is with us all of the time, 24/7, updating and reminding us of the presence of God. And I'm sorry for those of you who were at my first Tuesday communion a month ago for reusing this analogy, but I think it's a good one, so forgive me. When I was on my ordination retreat, the lady who was leading it, she said a prayer. And she said, God, I pray that you love us with a tenacity, so that means like the holding on, of a toddler. And I thought, oh, I don't like that very much. That's a bit heretical, isn't it? To call God a toddler. I've got one. They're very annoying. I don't think we should call God this. Oh, no, 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 let's not take that analogy too far. And as I was going to sleep that night, I actually had a few more thoughts about how amazingly relevant that actually is. Let's not take it completely far. But does your prayer life look a little bit like, morning God, rest of my day, well, that was all right today, God, or why didn't you sort that out for me, God, I'm going to sleep. 10 seconds and 10 seconds. Or does your prayer life look a little bit like my life with Abby? Every morning we get up, it's hug. She doesn't speak yet, but you can tell she's feeling, what are we doing today, Mum? What are we doing? What can I go with you in? Where are we going? Are we going to play? Are we going to talk to that person? Are we going to meet to that person? When's lunchtime? That's a popular question as well. But let's put that into a faith context with God. Is he with you every second of the day? Well, yes, you know that up here. But do you know that in terms of here? Having a conversation with him all the time. What are we doing today, Daddy? Who have you got for me to meet in the condiments aisle of Tesco? Who have you got for me to meet sitting right outside in the doctor's queue with me? Who have you got for me to meet when I walk down the street walking the dog? Do you have that kind of constantly uploading iCloud relationship? If you don't, pray for it, because it is the best thing I have ever done. And I'm not saying I only started the ordination retreat. It was just a prompt to my head that actually it was what I was doing. I was saying, what are we doing today, Daddy? Where are we going today? That's how to keep in the cloud in times that are good and times that are hard. But to end this, I don't want to just talk about generals. I want you to think about your real specifics. For you, what would be the things that you want to watch for his works on, to remember, to call to mind? And we're going to watch a very short video. I don't know if you'll have seen something similar. There's lots of versions of this going around. It's called Cardboard Testimonies, and it's where people write on one side something they were or something they used to feel, and then they flip it over and they say how Jesus has changed them. And can you have a think in that about what your story would be if you were writing one. I'm sorry if some of those were a little blurry, but you probably got the point. And I have a horror of talks that don't give time for God to change people and for you to have some chance to reflect on what your story would be. And so to that end, before we finish off the talk, you will have noticed, hopefully if you're on the inside of the aisles, that there are some pencils and pens and some cards. And we are going to do our own CSK mini version. This is just for you, introvert sensitive, but you can take this home and put it on your mirror. Take it for the car. Take it for your purse or your wallet. Wherever you will see it. And think about it, really give it some thought. There'll be a quiet song playing, and this is your time, yours and God's, to say what is yours. It's going to be so specific to you, no one else needs to see it, but give it some thought and write down how Jesus has changed you and what your truth that you want to come back to is. So please do pass the cards and pens along, and we'll have about 3 to 4 minutes for that. Thank you. I hope you've all had time to do that, because we're going to pray in a second. Listen to how this psalm ends. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they were heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. And then we come back to all of those amazing praise verses. We can praise in the midst of sadness. We can praise in the midst of adversity and difficulties. If we're remembering, if we're calling to mind his signs, not the world's signs, not the world's signs that say these things are wrong, these people will never change, God doesn't heal today, all of those things, they fall by the wayside. If we're keeping in mind that thing, or the multiple things that draw us back to the heart of the Father, those moments when we were changed, those moments where we saw his presence, those moments where we saw his works. And then they stop becoming just whispers. They become shouts. And they stop becoming just something in pencil. They're written in marker pen before our eyes. So let's pray for the things that we've put on our cards. If you'd like to hold yours between your hands, that's what I'm going to do with mine. I'm just going to offer whatever the change is that we have seen to Jesus, and ask that we keep that at the forefront of our minds. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that there are as many testimonies here as there are people, and that you have worked so powerfully in the lives of each of us. And we pray right now for what we hold in our hands. The good that we've seen, the joy that we've seen, the faithfulness that we've seen. That verse, that hope that just reminds us of your promises. And we say that we choose to shout these out to a world in darkness, to a world that says otherwise, because we want to stay in touch with you and in touch with your presence. So I pray that you call to mind these things in our weeks, in the years ahead, and that, Lord, you keep building these stories of goodness towards us, that we might praise your name and glorify you forever. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.